Hey, everybody. Welcome back to the Royalty Room. It's Legal Queen LA. And you know, we talk about entertainment and we talk about law. We'll talk about those things today. But today, again, we're focusing on mental health. And we have a very special guest from the LA area himself, Mr. Luis Quezada. Welcome to the Royalty Room. You know, I mean, it is a special guest. You're Forbes qualified.
I appreciate it.
What that means to me is you're going to make your way to Forbes magazine one day.
That's the plan.
I don't know what your line of thought was behind it, but that's what I'm seeing.
Yeah. You got the right concept.
Yeah. So honestly, this episode is like, we're kind of going to be all over the place, but I do want to take it from the top because you came by way of like super high recommendation from my brother-in-law. Nothing but good things to say about you. And of course, we've had a chance to talk a little bit.
We did.
But I feel like there's like a trillion things I don't know. So before we get into the important topic of the day, why don't you tell us where you came from and how you got here?
Sure. So I was born in Los Angeles, California, 96. And all I can say is that from the day I was born, I didn't have a father. So he was never in my life. It was me and my mom the whole time.
Your mom is amazing, by the way.
Thank you. I always share good stuff about her. But yeah, it was just me and my mom. I could just say by the time I was in sixth grade, I have probably, it's exactly 11 schools that I went through before I hit sixth grade. One was out of the country. Two of them were out of state. So at the age of six, I went to Mexico, right? We had a situation where my mom was unable to afford or be able to live on her own here. Mm-hmm. So she had to make a decision, and she sent me with my grandma. I went out there when I was in first grade.
Wow.
First grade, I got there. They saw me. They're like, yeah, no, he's a second grader. So I got put into second grade over there. And when I was in second grade, they were like, yeah, this kid finishes his work a little too fast. So I started doing third grade.
What?
Yeah, it was a little crazy.
So this is why you're a chess master. You're literally a genius.
Yeah, you can't say chess master.
Okay. I don't know what that means in chess world.
That's
but
an official title.
He is. Yeah. Listen, he is that guy in chess.
I love playing chess. Yes, I am good for the average player. You know, I'm not one of those.
You have a professional chess set on the dining room table. That's like professional. You know,
I love teaching how to play, you know, how to play chess. It's something that I really, really love to do. But yeah, I at the same time, I got my IQ tested and I ranked at 162.
Wow.
I feel like it's also a curse at the same time. You know, not just having a high IQ doesn't mean you're smart. Not at all, right? After a certain amount of level, that's where, like, autism comes into play. Mm. But, going to 11 different schools in, three different states, including California, one out of state. It's very detrimental because I don't have any longtime friends.
You know, it's crazy. This morning I was writing down stuff for, not this podcast specifically, but like stuff I was thinking of that I want to talk about eventually.
Sure.
And I literally wrote in my notes 10 different elementary schools.
Really?
2 middle schools, 2 high schools. So you beat me.
Yeah.
You definitely beat me. But I was thinking the same thing. Like, I have literally no idea what stability is.
Exactly. And when I went to Mexico, I was in kindergarten here, going into first grade here. I went out there for about a year plus summer out there. I forgot English.
Oh,
I was a little kid. I was 6 years old. So I had just learned English here. So when I went out there, I forgot English.
Wow.
I only knew Spanish. So when I came here, second grade here, I had to relearn English.
And you jumped in America from kindergarten to second grade by the time you came back?
Yeah, I was supposed to get put in third because of Mexico, but they couldn't put me in third because
I had to be in like ESOL.
And I didn't know English.
Yeah.
So, you know, but I was able to pick it up within a couple months, like relatively quick. But yeah, I want to say sixth grade, 11 different schools, and that's when I had a vision of becoming a lawyer.
Okay.
That from sixth grade was when I wanted to pursue to be a lawyer.
That's even before me. I didn't even know back then I wanted to be
a lawyer. Oh, I knew it was going to be a lawyer. And I started to take measures into actually pursuing that. So I obviously was always gifted. I've always either been a straight A or a couple B's here and there, but majority always been a straight A student. I've always liked school. I like challenging myself. So right. It's not that I like the subjects themselves. I just wasn't going to let some grade justify my knowledge. Right. So I would always like to prove myself wrong. Did well up until ninth grade. I joined speech and debate.
Okay.
Again, pursuing to my dream of becoming a lawyer.
You're on the debate team and everything.
I was president by my senior year.
President of the debate
team. President of the debate team. Okay. I was captain of debate, 11th grade, president by my senior year. And there was always somewhat trouble at home, especially my senior year. I started taking the LSATs or practicing for the LSATs.
In high school?
In high school.
Wow.
Yeah.
That is the law school admissions test. Some states, some schools don't require it anymore, apparently.
Really?
But
a lot of stuff. I feel like they're making it
changing
easy.
Changing in the legal world.
Yeah.
Well, we can talk about that another time.
Yeah.
The LSAT, you have to take it in order to get into law school. It's kind of like the GRE.
Yeah, basically.
So you can take it as many times as you want. But yeah. When the law schools see it, if you know you took it 22 times and your scores haven't improved or it's all over the place, like some schools are like, oh, you took it too many times. It's kind of iffy.
Yeah.
But I'm sure if you would have taken it, you would have. Or did you take it?
I've never taken it.
Okay. I'm sure I was going to say it would have been like a pretty, pretty high score.
Yeah. I hope. I mean, I have a really good best friend from high school that I think he got a 172.
Wow.
And we were par to par since middle school.
And I think the average is like maybe like 150-ish, yeah. If I'm not mistaken.
Yeah. 170 is it's a high score.
Yeah.
It's a high score. I've never taken it, but I've always, you know, tried to study for, you know, by my senior year, I was taking four or five AP classes, had a part-time job, president of the debate team. I was the sports editor of our new school's newspaper.
Wow.
I had a lot going on. But again, trouble at home, financially, of course, it's always been, a lot of people don't know this.
I love tea.
Yeah. Since ninth grade, there was always trouble at home, and I've never asked my mom for a dollar. Wouldn't want to hurt her feelings, because I know she didn't have it. So why ask?
Right.
You know, and, you know, I started selling weed in high school. I was never a user up until, like, my senior year. But I sold weed here and there. And by the time I was in 11th grade, I had a whole team in high school. By senior year, they became really good friends. Three of them got expelled. Two of them got caught. And I felt blamable for it. Mm-hmm. So I stopped. And I was still working a full-time job or a part-time job at the time. I was getting ready to go to university. And I got accepted to every single university I applied to. UCLA was one that – UCLA and UC San Diego were one of the ones that I wanted to go to major in political science. That was my go-to. It's always been my dream.
I see that for you.
Yeah, in sixth grade. I accepted their admission. I got into their presidential scholarship. And right before the day before orientation happened, had to make a decision. Not everyone has the luxury of going to a university. I had to make a decision because room and board was included. But it's like my mom wasn't going to be able to afford her own place.
Damn.
You know, she worked at McDonald's her whole life, you know, for 20 plus years. So she wasn't able to, you know, be able to afford her own place. So I had to make a decision. And I said, okay, well, I have to just sit it out and go to community college and see what I can figure out then, and then hopefully just transfer. So, yeah, I think when I chose that route is when my biggest downfall started to happen. Because I got involved with drugs. So when I went to community college, I was always a reader from high school. I'm talking 8-9 hours a day reading. I was a reader.
That's beautiful. Kids don't do that anymore.
No, they don't. So I was a reader, and I started reading a lot of financial books, self-discipline, self-help. And yeah, after I read a couple books, I'm like, yeah, I don't need college. You know, I was content. I was not content with the salary that a lawyer would be making for what I wanted to pursue.
Right.
You know, I wanted the luxurious lifestyle. You know,
FYI, I'm not content with the salary that lawyers are making either. Just throwing that out there. So if we can make a change,
let's make a change. And
but yes, I'm so sorry. What happened with the? I feel like you're going on a turn for the worst.
Yeah. So I dropped out of community college, and I wanted to pursue something in real estate. I kind of was like, statistically speaking, out of all millionaires created, 90% of them do real estate. So if I'm going to throw a dart, I might as well throw something that I can hit. Mm-hmm. So I was like, well, I'm going to pursue real estate. So
especially here in LA.
Yeah. So I was like, what do I need for real estate? Well, I need money. So I got started working for a dispensary. I was making pretty good money at the time. In 2014, 2015, I was making, what, $300 a day cash. And I was going through, I don't even know what to call it. We'd have to get a therapist.
Therapy is important.
It is. It is for everyone. We all need it. And I started abusing drugs. I started using cocaine.
Shit.
For any cocaine user out there, I was doing a ball a day.
I don't know what that means, but it sounds drastic.
About 3.5 grams a day.
Wow.
It very, 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 it's a lot. And I was addicted for about a year. And my life went to the left.
Yeah.
I was very addicted to it. All I would do was just basically use. I would use and I lost myself.
And the focus and the drive, yeah.
Lost everything. I didn't know what I was doing it for at that point. I truly lost myself. And I think it took years later for me to understand that I lost myself. On December 2016, I overdosed on cocaine. I did a ball in about half an hour.
Jesus. Oh my god.
Yeah. Everyone that is an ex cocaine user, current cocaine user, knows that cocaine's a 30-minute high, tops. I was on a 9-hour high. I couldn't talk. My throat was swollen shut. My whole arm was just numbing and pulsing. I couldn't talk. I couldn't speak. I couldn't drink water.
Kind of like paralyzed.
Yeah.
Wow.
For about 8 to 9 hours.
So I'm the sheltered person in my family. No one tells me anything. I'll walk in. I can't tell someone's high. Like I was never told like the real because, she's going to law school. She's in college. She's just, you know, don't taint her. Don't mess her up. And so And the addictive gene, I guess, it skipped me. Everybody on one side of my family was an alcoholic or addicted to drugs or something like that, and it skipped me. So I don't understand. I don't know anything, and I also don't understand what it's like because it's never happened to me, and I don't have that. I don't know. I used to be just really pissed off because my mother – unfortunately, the closest person to me, she is a drug addict, was a drug addict. And I've just always been pissed off about it because I don't understand what it's like. I don't understand. Like, you wake up every day and you choose to do this bullshit. Like,
it's tough.
But it's deeper than that.
I think it starts when it first started. Because once you're there, you know, when that happened, I made a promise to God not to ever use. This was back in 2016. I haven't used ever since. Never thought about using ever since. It's never been on my mind.
Proud of you.
Never been on my mind.
Because that's huge.
Yeah.
That's huge. To just make that commitment and actually follow through, that's huge, especially in LA.
Yeah.
I don't know if anybody knows much about LA, but you could find anything, do anything. It's just all right in your face. Last night I was at a show for my artist, and I walk out on the corner to my friend had my keys, and she dropped the keys off, and I'm walking right outside. They're right outside the door, and they're just doing lines of coke. And I'm just like, bro, it's like 7 p.m. on a Sunday. Like, what are you doing?
That's, you know, I could tell you some quick little stories on how addicted I was. And I'm sure I'll have people that are going to be watching and they'll be like, yeah, that was me. I had, you know, I would do a line right before I would go to sleep. And I would do a line as soon as I wake up.
So can I ask you this? I want to talk about our real, real, real topic
yes.
in a second. But let me ask you this. Of course, I've never done it. I've never done any drugs. I didn't even smoke weed ever in my life, really, till I moved to L.A.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't understand the cocaine thing. Lawyers, apparently all the lawyers in the world do coke. You know, I don't. I haven't. In law school, I had a really hard time staying awake. Yeah. So they put me on Adderall. They put me on Vyvanse. Wellbutrin, all the things. They don't work on me. Yeah. I will take the highest dosage of Vyvanse and go take a nap. Like, nothing works. Caffeine doesn't work. It tastes good. I'm going to drink my Red Bull. I'm going to drink coffee. But nothing has an effect on me.
Yeah.
And someone was like, dude, I think the only, like, last thing for you to try is cocaine. I don't recommend it.
Don't do it.
So I'm just going to be a sleepy girl
if
forever.
If that's going to be the only thing that keeps you up, trust me, you will get addicted.
Yes. So that was my question. How are you doing cocaine and going to sleep? Like,
I feel like your body becomes, almost immune to it in a way. I'm not sure what it was. I think I like sleeping with my heart beating fast.
Damn.
There was something about it, you know? That's crazy. And, yeah, you know, with all these, you know, drugs and whatnot, when I OD'd, that's where it goes. And I think it may have something to do with it is I started having problems. Either with anxiety because I the month of December, I went to the ER 12 times.
Damn.
Heart beating 180 beats a minute at a resting heart rate. They had to shoot me with Ativan every time I would go. They would always think I was on drugs every time I would go. And I wasn't. I wasn't. Obviously anxiety is a thing, but it's like, does anxiety really shoot your heart rate
like
to
100? That bad. Yeah.
It just... you know, it does race, but like 180 beats a minute, that's, you know, I think after 2-something, your heart can give out, right? Or I think it's 300, but that's super hard. Like, that's like super sprinting. And, with all the stuff that was going on, I did a couple drug charges, did a little bit of LA County time, couple months and whatnot. When I got out, I think, being away and actually like, hey, there's no ER, you can't go anywhere, there's nothing for you to look for, you got to fight it on your own.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I did for those couple months. So when I got out, I had to choose exactly what I had to do. And I feel like I was so focused that by the age of 22, I was making $250,000 a year.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay. So where do we go from that to today?
I feel like after getting to where I am now, as you know, you've been to my home. I feel like...
Which is one of the only home owners that I know in Los Angeles. Nobody owns a home. So that in and of itself speaks volumes. Like, that's amazing.
Yeah. I feel like... when I got after making, you know, people, by the way, people don't know this. People don't know I was making $250,000. I don't, people don't know till this day.
As they shouldn't.
they will now. But yeah, at 22, you know, I was making easily over $250,000 a year.
And at that age, like, what do you do with all that money?
Exactly. A lot of money was spent randomly. A lot of money was spent here. A lot of money was spent on a lot of stuff, you know, but I did pursue on a lot of things with education. That's what I spent a lot of my money. I spent $25,000 on a course before, private course.
Damn.
So including that
what?
Option trading.
Wow.
Yeah. So I started making, you know, pretty good money on, so funny because it was on December 16, 2022. I woke up dizzy. I woke up dizzy to the point where I'm like, dude, I got to sit down. I'm about to pass out.
Like feeling like. Drunk or...
You know when you're about to pass... I don't know if you've ever been lightheaded. Mm-hmm. Or when you stand up too quick.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're like, oh, I got to stop. Yeah. I have to just stop and like let him... You know, okay, well, that doesn't go away. you're literally a half a second about to just collapse. Damn. And I'm like, and it just wouldn't go away. It wouldn't go away. I didn't know what to do. I went to the hospital. I went to the ER. They brought a neurologist out. They did a quick examination. They're like, well, you're not having a stroke. Your blood looks fine. You know, it may be vertigo. Okay, well, it's vertigo. They're like, it might go after a couple of weeks. You
know, right.
You're kind of young to be having it in the first place, but give it a couple of weeks. I said, okay. Well, I left and I'm like, well, doctors say I'm okay. Like, it looks like I'm going to pass out, but doctors say I'm okay. So I just lay down. And after a couple of weeks, it wouldn't go away. And I was trying to figure out why.
And this was just about 2 years ago that this started.
Yeah.
Wow. So this is everything that we're about to figure out is also new to you.
Yeah.
Essentially. Okay.
Yeah. It's so within the last, 2 years. And I went back to the ER and they were just like, yeah, like there's something going on. You know, they did CAT scan. They did a MRI on my head, MRI on my chest. They tried to figure out exactly what was going on with me and they couldn't figure it out. They referred me to an ENT. I want to go check them out. They couldn't figure it out.
And this dizziness, this is happening every single day.
Every single day does not go away.
Wow.
Yes.
Throughout the entire day, you have to deal with this.
Or even when I'm sleeping.
Oh my God.
So it just feels like you're going to pass out.
Yeah.
And you can't really do anything. Like, I mean, thank God I wasn't working a 9-to-5.
Yeah.
Because I can almost assure you that anyone that has a 9-to-5, if they were to get hit with something like this, be almost nearly impossible to go to work. There's no way you can stand up for that amount of time. You got to sit down.
Yeah.
And I didn't know what was going on. I didn't know if I had cancer. I didn't know if there was something wrong. I didn't know if there was just something new that they're about to discover on me. I just know one thing. It's that I couldn't live my life that way.
Mm-mm.
And I went to a neurologist. Neurologist looked at it. They're like, yeah, everything looked good. At this point, I've seen every specialist there is to see. I wouldn't say they gave up on me, but.
Yeah, it's like, what else can we
do? What else can we do? All they told me is just make sure you drink a lot of water, stay away from caffeine, make sure you eat 3 meals a day.
Drink water. We're not trying to stay hydrated. We're trying to get to the bottom of
this. Like, and I didn't know what to do. So I was sitting back and hopefully Mark can see this. I saw a video of Mark Cuban and he had a video with Dr. Mango at Disneyland.
Okay.
And he had something very similar. I'm not going to say. He had something very similar. I can't say what he had, obviously, for HIPAA violation. But, he had something similar. And he went to go see Dr. Mango. And he
apparently, and this is in Orange County right
now.
Okay.
He apparently fixed him. You know? And I'm like, okay, well, Dr. Mango is this big-time doctor, has something called Disneyland. I need to go see him.
Yeah.
You know? And, dude, it was like, $8,000.
You see.
Now, for me to drop $8,000, and I think that's when people started to realize how serious, like, I'm not exaggerating. I would not drop $8,000 if I didn't want
to. And the majority of people can't. Like,
exactly.
There's a healthcare crisis in this country. Probably in almost every country, and there's a healthcare crisis.
Yeah.
He doesn't accept insurances and all types of stuff. No Medicaid, I'm sure.
Oh, yeah. No, that's
God,
that's
no. Not.
I went to go see him, and it was 6 hours of testing. And the testing was some pretty crazy testing. I was telling you, one of the testing I told you was you sit in a room. And, like, if you're claustrophobic, forget about it. You're in a chair, and you're getting spin 1 second to turn, and you're just spinning. Boom, 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 for 5 minutes straight.
Mm-mm.
You have VR, and they basically look at your eyes on how they're moving when it's spinning. And then they tell you to, you have to realign certain lines until you think it's straight.
It sounds like you're in a blender.
Yeah, that's exactly what it is. And it's terrifying. Do that for 5 minutes. There's other testing, which is the more severe one from what I remember. And it's probably the worst one is they change your temperature of your inner ear, which actually causes you to get dizzy. So they put hot and cold, right? So they put hot and they heat it up until it gets to that temperature. When I'm telling you, your eyes go like this. your eyes go like that. Their eyes go like, your eyes go like, yeah. And it's just because your temperature changes, and that's what causes your eyes to go like this. Which is weird. It's only when your temperature inside changes and not your outside temperature changes. What? Yeah, it's some weird thing.
And what type of specialist or what type of doctor is Dr. Mango? Is it an ENT or what?
You know, that's a good question. I'm not sure which kind of doctor he is, but I know like the ones that are kind of administrating, they're either like ENT doctors.
Mm-hmm. Ear, nose, and throat.
Yeah.
I have a lot of sinus issues and a lot of migraine issues, and I really haven't.
That's what people go and check, yeah.
So I guess I better find whoever wants to sponsor me on figuring out why I have migraines. 8 bands, we'll figure it out.
Talk to
let me know.
Talk to Mark Cuban. I'm sure he's got plenty of.
Oh, Mark can be my sponsor.
Plenty of stuff to go around, you know. So it's a very serious issue.
So what was, I know we've been talking about it, we know. What was the final diagnosis after all this, like, completely ridiculous sounding testing?
Yeah, so Dr. Mango sat me down after 6 hours of testing, and he said, you don't have to go to the ER no more.
Praise God.
You're not going to die. And he said, we know what's wrong with you. And I'm like, enlighten me. And he said, you have triple PD.
Okay.
Which obviously stands for persistent postural perceptual dizziness.
Persistent postural perceptual dizziness.
Correct.
Which causes you to be dizzy every single day.
Yeah, it has to do with your vestibular system. So your vestibular system is something that kind of, it sits in your, in the middle of your brain, and then there's some, there's your left and your right. And my right side is 28%, has 28% nerve damage.
What? Yeah. From this?
Yeah. So it means that my brain is trying to make up for it to try to keep a perfect balance, but it can't always do that. And one of the best...
People with migraines or anxiety and depression are at a higher risk for developing PPPD. Wow.
It can occur to anyone, yeah. And I've had, you know, with anxiety when I OD'd on cocaine. Yeah. So is it related? It could definitely be related. We're not entirely sure, but one of the way that Dr. Mango kind of described it to me is, imagine when you're drunk and the room starts to spin.
Oh,
you know, when you're like, boom, and you're just like, that's your vestibular system being off.
I barely even drink at this point. I haven't been drunk in 3 years. Praise God. That's probably the worst part of being drunk.
Yeah. And that right there is what it feels like. When I tell people, like, the best way for me to describe it is, if you're a drinker and you get drunk, and I'm talking drunk, and you go to sleep and you wake up at 5 a.m. to go to the bathroom, you're still kind of drunk. Mm-hmm. You're kind of groggy. That's exactly what I feel like. That's what I feel like.
And you just have to live your regular life.
How does someone go to work?
Like, right.
You know, like, it's just very difficult for you to be goal oriented with that going on, for you to kind of have just anything in life. It's very difficult. Because I think for the first year, I wasn't able to go out.
I feel like, so it said, you know, with anxiety, with depression, et cetera, it can lead to this. But I feel like 3PD, triple PD, can lead to depression and anxiety. I feel like it's a circle.
It's either a circle. I think they correlate with one another. But either way, for the first year, imagine going out. I couldn't really
I'd be very depressed. I would be in my bed.
It was just something like, am I going to live with this for the rest of my life? Like, what's going to happen? Like, I'm in the middle of this. Like, how am I going to pursue my career? How am I going to advance my career?
So do you have to live with this for the rest of your life?
Unfortunately, yes. As of now, there is no cure for it. By the way, you were supposed to put the little sound when you put the thing on. You never did.
Oh, I'm sorry. Listen, say the words again. Say the words.
Triple PD. There you go.
Nah, for real. Like, no, this is, it's crazy to me because... what is the best way to describe is it a disease? Is it a mental illness?
It's a chronic illness.
Chronic illness.
Yeah, it's a chronic illness. So I think for something to be classified chronic, it needs to be going on for longer than 3 months consecutively.
Yeah, I did. I saw.
Yeah, it's 3 months consecutively. It's that's where the persistent comes in. So it's a chronological illness. There is no fact on how it happens, and there isn't a cure for it.
What the fuck?
Yeah,
I'm stressed out. Like I'm a very empathetic person. So I automatically always put myself in someone else's shoes, whether I want to or not. And I'm trying to just imagine how you go about your days every day. And mind you, I've met you a couple of times. You would never know that you're dealing with anything like
this. Most people don't. Yeah.
Like ever. Is there a medication? Are there like things that you have to do, like home
remedies? So I'll tell you the big turn I had. So I would say that after a while, I kind of was over it. You know, I'm like, all right, well, I'm not going to let this control my life. Mm-hmm. And that's for anyone that has triple PD, because it took a long time for me to find answers.
Yeah.
And you kind of just have to take over don't let it take over you.
Right.
And that's the big thing, is don't let it take over you. For us, every single day it's getting by the day is literally a hard task. So even if you have to make baby dreams, make a dream that, hey, your goal is for you to get through the day.
Yeah.
For you to have a good time, for you to find something that you enjoy and do it. Wow. And that's what I would do. I would wake up every single morning. I would meditate. I would go take my dog on a walk. I would look at nature. I would just be thankful that I get to actually enjoy it, because there's so many people in this world that are blind.
Yeah.
They're not able to see what I'm able to see. The beautiful trees, the beautiful sky, the beautiful ocean outside my window. You're not able to see that. People can't hear. Some people can't walk. Some people don't have arms. Some people aren't living. So the fact that I'm still able to do these things, sure, I have triple PD going on, but you got to move past it.
Yeah.
So I would say meditation, mm-hmm. some sort of therapy.
Amen.
And realign yourself. Get your goals in order. Live it day by day. After a while, if you being able to go out, take your baby steps.
Like maybe, a daily goal, a weekly.
Yeah.
Goal.
I would have to go, you know what? I'm going to go to the grocery store. Let me walk down that aisle. Because that gets you even. Fluorescent light or lighting, sun, makes me dizzier.
Yeah.
So I would test myself. I would go walk in the sun, get some vitamin D. I would go to the grocery store when it's bright, and I would, you know, go left and right. And I was like, you know what? I have to keep going. So I got my things in order, and I started to pursue my goals and careers again.
So I'm sorry. Is there a medication?
The only medication that there isn't specifically for triple PD, but what people use is either anxiety medication or depression medication.
Wow.
That's the only medication that's out there.
Do you know how many freaking side effects?
Oh yeah. Technically they're all antidepressants at the end of the day, because there really isn't anxiety medications. Mm-hmm. They're antidepressants at the end of the day. Mm-hmm. So yeah, you know, they put me on Zoloft and Prozac.
Oh my God. Zoloft? I'm like, this is an anti-Zoloft PSA.
Yeah.
Dude.
Yeah.
Zoloft and Remeron. I will never forget the word Remeron. When I was depressed and wanting to end my life in law school, they put me on this medication. And in 1 month, it made me gain 20 pounds. Oh, you thought I was depressed before? Now I'm fat as hell. Like, what do you mean?
Yeah.
Like, and then the one of them, I think it was Zoloft. It made me like black out while I was sleeping. And so like someone could come into my house, do anything. Like, and I'm reading all these side effects, like people are waking up and sleepwalking out of their house.
Yeah,
dying.
The
like,
side effects are insane. Oh, you know, one thing that I didn't mention is that what triple P causes throughout the whole time is fatigue, mm-hmm. which is another big thing. Not only are you dizzy and you can't do something, but fatigue, you have low energy. Yeah. You don't have any. You don't have no motive to do anything.
Because your body is like constantly.
You
want to
sleep all day.
Working.
So yeah. So one time I said, you know what? Maybe my body just needs to sleep. I was a hardcore worker. Let me just sleep. I would be in bed 20 hours out of the day.
And it still doesn't do anything.
Nope. the best advice someone gave me from a therapist that deals with triple PD is you have to live your life as if you didn't have it. So wake up every single, have a schedule.
It's a mentality.
Wake up every single day, 7, 8 in the morning, go for a 20-minute walk, get some stretching, get some yoga done, some meditation, and, you know, keep going. Make a task. So that's what I would do. I got things in order. I did get put on antidepressants. I got off of it because they made me even more tired, yep. Which is like, okay, I'm trying to not be tired and whatnot. And they didn't really help. You know, they made me more tired. And yeah, that was when I decided to get off of it. I said, you know what? I have to kind of just do what I have to do. Mm-hmm. And I was able to accomplish a lot of things. I was able to meet a lot of people. And now I'm at a point where I want to go back to my roots, mm-hmm. which is what I wanted to talk to you.
Mm-hmm. Dímelo, papi.
I went through this whole thing, right, for 10 years. And at the end of the day, yes, I have this. Yes, I have all these tangible things, which is great. Yes, you know, to a lot of people, I'm, you know, have these great things and whatnot, but I want to pursue my goal. I want to pursue something that's going to make me happy at the end of the day. And that's to be a lawyer. Mm-hmm. It's always been my dream since a kid. I've always loved it. I still do. And I feel like I've rewatched Suits 7 different times.
Yes, Mike
it's
Ross.
Still in my embedded in my mind. And I feel like it's something that I don't think I'd ever be able to let go. And I know for a fact I wouldn't be able to live with my life if I don't get that law license.
So the good news is you can literally, like, you have the rest of forever to do that. You could go to law school now. You can go to law school in 10 years. Yeah. I went to school with this lady. My dad's from Honduras. I went to school with this lady. She's already an attorney in Honduras, like 20, 30 years. Now she's in law school with me in Florida, you know? So it's literally never too late.
Yeah, it's not.
But there's also a cheat code in California.
There is a cheat code.
That I've been talking to you about. So in California, and I think Virginia, you don't have to go to law school to then apply to take the bar exam. There are other requirements, but you don't have to go to an accredited law school. You don't have to go to a law school at all. For example, everybody loves to talk about Kimberly Kardashian. She's taking the apprentice route. And in the UK, and some states are thinking about taking away the bar exam altogether.
Yeah.
You can work under an attorney as an apprentice.
Yeah.
For California requires 4 years. And within those 4 years, of course, you have to be working. You have to be learning the core subjects, which is contracts, torts, civil procedure, criminal law, and I feel like constitutional, con law.
Yeah.
And after that, you have to take in California what's called the baby bar. And that's also what tripped everybody. Well, what tripped Kim K.
She didn't pass multiple times.
She didn't pass the baby bar. And because you don't pass the baby bar, you can't apply to sit for the bar exam.
Yeah.
Like in Florida, of course, we didn't have a baby bar because you're required to go to law school.
Yeah.
You're required to do the LSAT. You're required to take the bar exam. And everybody likes to say California is the hardest bar exam in the country. But I have an argument for Florida. There are 26 subjects on the Florida bar exam.
Mm-hmm.
You can't even take 26 subjects. You can't even take 26 classes in law school. Like, it's physically impossible.
Yeah.
So the Supreme Court and like all the schools in Florida have petitioned the Supreme Court to like knock it off, dude. Like, this is too much. It's too hard. I have friends that didn't pass the bar for, you know, a year, 2 years later. Because it's just that much information.
It's a lot.
But I say all that to say there are alternative routes. If it's something you really, really, really want to pursue, find a great attorney, find a great law firm, work as a legal assistant, work as a law clerk, and you can do that. You can always go to law school, of course. I'm never going to tell anybody don't go to law school, even though if you really don't want to be a lawyer, I don't recommend it. It's tough. But for someone like you, who's literally, it was your first goal, your passion, you're great. I got to listen to you and your friend politicking. the other day. And I was like, oh, yeah, he was definitely captain of the debate.
Yeah, yeah. And that's something that I still want to pursue. So I want to, you know, definitely have my own firm.
In what area?
You know, there's something that there's something about crime that
it really
gets my, like, I really like to, like, dig deep. Mm-hmm. Okay, if that's something that I love to do, I really like to investigate, I really like to look at what's going on and find ways to kind of defend people. Not everyone has that fair chance, but yeah, something about it just, you know, I kind of want to do something like that. I mean, eventually I'll probably end up doing real estate law, but...
Which makes sense. Did you ever finish your real estate courses?
Yeah, well, I passed one.
So I was going to say, yeah, we're like waiting till the very last second. Before
I got the first. I got my first one done. So
congratulations.
So there's three. I got the first one down. I'm on the second one. And I'm pretty sure within 2 months I'll be able to get my license.
I feel like the possibilities with you are endless, though, because real estate brokerage... Being a real estate broker, being a real estate agent is one. Law is another. Real estate law is another. Like, you could literally be a mogul between all three.
Which
sell
is
houses.
My goal
houses,
is to
do the contracts.
Get my life insurance license as well.
And life insurance. Okay.
Yeah. It's just something that I feel like, you know, I think with the law license, it's just like, oh, yeah, he's credible.
Yeah.
You know, that's something that you need. It's like he's definitely credible.
Or not, if you're a woman, but. You know, that's a story for another episode.
But yeah, you know, it's something that I'm going to pursue. And it's a good thing that I found a very good attorney that I'm going to be able to work with. Ashley.
Ah, okay. I was like, wait, you found somebody. That's cool. That's cool. But yes. So
yeah,
we're going to figure some things out. Yeah, I'm truly, because I deal with, like, you know, chronic migraines. I deal with depression on and off, anxiety, all the things. Like, life is stressful.
Life is tough.
But I feel like very motivated just sitting here with you.
Yeah.
Because, like I said, I don't do mornings. Like, it pains me to wake up in the morning. My body hurts.
Well,
like,
I do just, mornings.
That's what I'm saying. Like, you're dealing with something every single day, and you're choosing to, again, not let it consume your life. And I don't have 3PD, triple PD. I keep saying three. But I don't have that. And I don't have a lot of other deal with a lot of other things that a lot of other people do.
Yeah.
But you wake up every day and you conquer your day. And I feel like I could be better. I could be more productive.
It's a mission, too. For sure. Even till this day, getting out, as soon as I wake up, by the way, I still wake up with my heart racing. That's something that's never gone away. I wake up heart racing, head hurting. Takes about 2 or 3 minutes for me to, like, get out of bed. Mm-hmm. But it's a tough thing every single morning. But once I get up, I motivate myself. And, yeah, I feel like once I get my real estate license, you know, I'm sure me and you will talk and we'll get something in order.
Exactly. I'm also going to be having, like, a real estate panel. And it's with all of my, like, super hot, cute real estate bays. But they're all shorties. So maybe, you know, whenever you get your license, if we're doing that or before, I don't know, because you're doing your studies, maybe we could have a man on the panel as well.
Sure.
That would be pretty cool. But again, you, like, really motivated me. I think I'm going to make it my goal to wake up earlier and do better.
Yeah.
You know, take care of my day, because there's so much stuff to do, I feel like I need three of me to do it. Maybe I just need to wake up earlier.
I think me and you could definitely work together and definitely come up with something. But I feel like we can make something. Vice versa, you know. I feel like me trying to get this law license without going to law school and seeing if I am able to pass that bar exam without going to law
and
school.
And will.
And then you can definitely say, hey, I helped someone. You know,
that's the goal. That's the entire goal. Yeah, I mean, interns. I got mentorships.
Exactly. It could be a way for you to get, hey, look, I did it once. I could do it again.
Yeah. I love that. I'm super happy that you came. I can't wait to be on your podcast whenever it drops. I can't wait to, you know, do all of these legal things and learn more about real estate and be more motivated and be more productive in my own life. Because we all got shit to deal with, but life goes on.
Yes, it does.
And you're definitely inspiring. And I kind of want this episode to be like a PSA, because
absolutely.
I'm sure there's a lot of people dealing with this situation
or another,
and they have no idea what's
going on. Or depression, anxiety. I'm sure you can attack it the same way.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. So thank you so much. You know, this is the Royalty Room podcast. It's Legal Queen LA. Make sure you like, subscribe, comment, all the things. Follow my guy, Luis, because he's going to be an Esquire here in the future. So make sure you tap in with him before he is on Forbes, because then the price tag is going way up, honey.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
See you guys next time.
All right. Thank you.